The Burt Show.
Marketing, and are we being duped, Jackson?
You know, there's a million ways for companies to get us to spend more money, right? And a lot of times you think that you're onto them and that you're smarter than them, but you're not. That's really what it ultimately comes down to. And the tricks that companies use to get you to spend more money really honestly just pry on very basic human behavior and psychology.
Stupidity.
Stupidity. And when I was going through and doing some of the research for this, it made me realize just how stupid and predictable that we are. You've probably heard the classic examples of like IKEA's built like a maze, so it's hard for you to find your way out. Therefore, you're going to spend more and pick up more items.
My sense of direction, I feel the same way about every store.
Right? But they do that on purpose. They make it intentionally convoluted for you to, spend more money. Similarly, very nice restaurants will leave out the dollar sign next to prices so that you stop associating it with a cost of money and it's just a number there. Mm. Little things like that give a lot of way for you to spend more. But then I realized that there's a lot more creative ways that they do this as well.
I think I've told you guys this one before. I knew somebody that worked in marketing in New York City, and they would hire an entire team. And there would be one person looking at their phone, and the other people that they had hired were looking over the shoulders of this one person and seeing what they were looking at, which drew attention from strangers that were coming up to say, what are you guys looking at? What you looking at? And it was like the new Android or whatever.
Mm. That generates buzz. It's the same way why a club that is completely empty inside will still have people wait in line, just so that it generates buzz of people walking around and thinking that maybe they want to go in there.
And then after you wait in line, you get inside and you see it's like a freaking right. Desert land.
Right.
It's like, why'd you make me wait?
Yeah, so I'm going to rapid fire through some of these other ones. The first one is really crazy. Apparently, companies started making vacuum cleaners that were way quieter, but they started selling way less because people associated the noise with how effective they were.
Shut up.
So they stopped doing that, and then the sales went back up, which is really crazy. Places like Costco will put these really big ticket expensive items right at the entrance when you walk in. And what that does is when customers walk in, they will consciously make the choice, I'm not going to buy a $1,000 TV, and then they'll move on throughout their way. Well, when you do and you make a conscious decision like that, it actually makes you want to spend more money on other things because you told yourself no right at the beginning.
It also makes me think, too, when you see those big ticket price items, everything else you buy doesn't seem that bad because it's not that expensive. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Casinos are famous for this. Obviously, no clocks, so you lose time. All the windows are very tinted. But then there's also one where they actually prevent having hard right angles in anywhere in the casino, because when you make a right angle, a right-hand turn, or a left-hand turn, just a 90-degree turn, you have to consciously make that decision. And that actually gets you thinking more about the choices that you're making throughout. And they want a lot more impulse spending to happen while you're going through a casino.
Damn.
That is bananas. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And this last one that I have is just a classic example that we've all run into before. You know when you're at a car show and you're like, where are all the Rolls Royces and Maseratis? You know, every day? Mm-hmm. You guys see that?
No.
When you go to these places, you realize that those two specific car companies have made a conscious decision to not display their cars at car shows. Instead, they show their cars at private jet showings so that when people are looking at private jets and thinking about a $10 million jet, a $400,000 car doesn't look too expensive anymore, and it can be an impulse buy.
Man, I was ready for this with Target the other day because I just bought a new big screen TV. This thing's 65 inches. So I go into Target and they're selling one for $350, right? And it was on sale. That big red Target sticker that says sale. And I'm like, I already know what's going to happen here. I'm going to tell the dude that I want this TV. He's going to come back and say, oh, I'm sorry. We thought we had it in the back. And he's going to try to upsell me one, right? Mm-hmm. So he comes back out with the same TV. And I'm like, oh. I was confused. I was ready to get in a fight.
This was easy.
Damn. All right, so the email comes in. I don't even know how this can be debatable, to be honest with you. A friend breaks into his girlfriend's house, but he says for good reason. The girlfriend, not happy about it, breaks up with him. Who's right? Who's wrong? Abby's got the email.
Dear Burt Show, I love listening to you guys and respect your opinions so much. My best friend is going through a breakup and we want your honest opinions about whether or not you think what he did is a deal breaker. My friend, we'll call him Louie, and his girlfriend of 1 year and 3 months just broke up over something that was meant to be of the best intentions. Louie and Gracie were in a very committed relationship, talking about marriage and spending their lives together. They had amazing chemistry.
Amazing?
Amazing, and they seemed so in love Kristen.
Oh, a mezza.
One day, they had plans for Louie to go over to Gracie's house to sleep over. A very common thing for them. Okay, brag a little more. They both had separate evening events and planned to meet up at her house afterwards.
Get your shack bag.
Around 9 p.m., Louie was texting Gracie to let her know he was heading over. She didn't respond to the text, so he called her and still no answer. This is highly unusual behavior for Gracie to not answer a phone call or text, especially when she was already home. Louie got super worried and wanted to go check on her. Months prior, Gracie had given Louie the code to her house. He had just never used it, but there had never been a discussion of when he should or shouldn't. She just told him what it was, but there was never any reason for him to use it. So on this particular night, he decided to use the code she gave him to go in and make sure she's okay. She was in bed, asleep, and was startled by his presence. She got extremely upset, and after a few words back and forth, she asked him to leave. She tried to get past it, but she couldn't, and broke off a 15-month serious relationship. She feels he crossed a boundary, but he feels he was protecting her and had nothing but good intentions. Louie is the kindest person and would never do anything to hurt or scare her. Please give me your thoughts on this so I can help him move on. Thank you, guys.
So the intention was good, right?
It was. It was intent versus impact. And I get, as a woman, and you're in an apartment alone or whatever, and you wake up and there's a man standing over you, you don't know who it is. That's Jesus. A little bit of a traumatic experience.
That's jarring, so sure, yeah.
Let's acknowledge that. I think if they really know each other, like if he's a chronic worrier, like if he is a catastrophizer like Abby, mm-hmm. if you know this about your person and they are texting you and hitting you up and you don't respond, they're immediately going to go to worst case scenario land. And then you can understand why they would come over and check on you, because they are legitimately fearful something bad has happened to you, especially if you not responding is completely out of the norm. I think in this instance, he made a mistake by going into the house, mm-hmm. but it wasn't of malicious intent.
Right.
So now you two establish boundaries as far as when it's okay, when it's not okay, etc. And then you forgive and you move on. If this was something he was doing all the time, well, then, yeah, that's a different issue. But I feel like there's something else going on with her that she kind of jumped the gun on breaking up with him.
She feels like this is such a terrible offense and such a bad interpretation of character that he made such a bad decision that she can't trust him again. I don't feel that way. I think this is a talk. Like, you scared the S out of me.
Yeah.
Please don't ever do that again. Ever, 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 ever. And then you move on from it. And that's why I think Kristen's right. Something else going on here.
If there's one thing I know about women in breakups is that it always feels like there's one thing that all of a sudden makes her snap and break up with the guy or the girl or whoever she's dating. But what I know about women is they typically break up with you over a period of time. And then there's just one thing that's kind of the final nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. So I think, Kristen, you brought up a really good point, is that if this guy is a chronic worrier and he has really high anxiety and that makes him hard to be around, this to me would be the final straw, because I can't think of any woman who would look at this situation through a vacuum and just see like, wow, he was so worried about my safety that he came in just to make sure I was okay. And even though I was really startled, like, that's actually, I would rather you be worried about me than not worry about me. I think the only logical explanation mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. that this guy has a pattern of showing that he's an overreactor. And this final really jarring time was the thing that really did it for her. So yes, I think when we just look at the scenario through the eyes of he was just worried about her. Yeah, I don't think you should have broken up. But if he has a history, a character resume of doing stuff like this, I don't blame her.
Yeah, there's something else going on here. Because if you're in a 15-month relationship, you're already exchanging the L word, right? You're looking at a future together. You are in love with this person. So this one thing wouldn't break a relationship that is that tightly bonded. We're not hearing something.
And I agree with you, Abby. This may be indicative of something that's been going on for a period of time, and this was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
All I'm hearing is that there's a guy with my exact thought processes out there singling on the mend. If you need a shoulder to cry on, Louie, you can break into my house anytime.
Hey, Burt Show listener Jackie, if you could forward your friend Louie's information to Abby at Abby@TheBurtShow, she'd really appreciate it.
My security code is 999.
It's The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
All right, so I'm sure teachers, if you guys are listening right now, we'd love to get your take on this. Did this teacher cross a line? Too much information?
Yeah, this question is geared towards parents because I'm not a parent, but I know a lot of parents, including my girlfriend, and I was curious as to how you all would handle the situation because I'm at this point, I guess, where my girlfriend's daughter feels comfortable talking to me about her day. And I'm honored. And I'm like, okay, cool. Tell me what happened at school. Like, how's band going? And so one day she tells me that her teacher, she's talking about her teachers that she likes, the one she doesn't like. And she says, yeah, one of my teachers, she just every day, she's just like just trauma dumping on us. Like, she's just telling us her whole life story. Like, she's engaged and she talks about how she wants to break off her engagement because she's just not in love with this guy.
She's telling the class this?
She's telling the class this. Now,
and,
mind you.
And again, how old are
11.
So we're in middle school.
Sixth graders.
Okay.
So she's just rambling. Like, she's telling me, like, my girlfriend's daughter's just telling me everything that her teacher says. She's like, she tells me this and that. And some days she just comes in and she just acts like she's not happy because of her whole engagement that she's ready to call off. And I just look at her. I'm like, that's not okay for your teacher to tell you that. And at the same time, why would a teacher tell a group of sixth graders that.
She just lost it, man.
I can't speak for how a parent would feel, but I don't understand why your girlfriend's daughter would be complaining about this. Because for me, all I know is if I'm sitting in math class and I don't want to do algebra and she's starting to trauma dump on me on why she hates her fiance, I'm eating that up every time.
I get that because there was a time where my American government teacher in high school, she would do that. She talked about how much she hated men. She would take a break from government and talk about hating men and why she was a cat lady. But as a parent, if your child tells you this, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I also would love to hear from teachers as well, who I know you guys are like up and like getting ready for school right now. So 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. As a parent, if my kid came home and told me this, I'm not going to let it slide because it's my child is not your therapy. You don't need to be trauma dumping on my kid. And I had a person in my life who did that. And it's, these kids can't help her. Like, they can't, it's not like they can give her a sound advice as to how to fix her engagement. So this isn't going to stop until somebody stops it. And the kids don't need to hear that.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it nearly as seriously, to be honest with you. It's not like I'd go to the principal or anything. They'd come home, they would tell me the story. I would probably laugh it off. Is it inappropriate? Yes. Is it worth going to the principal for and reporting the teacher? I probably wouldn't go that far.
No, I'm not reporting the teacher to the principal. I'm talking to the teacher. I don't feel like you have to jump right to, let's have a conversation with somebody and get to the bottom of it. So at the teacher-parent conference, which I have one coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And so the kids are off school. They schedule times. You schedule time. You go and you talk to the teacher about your kid, right? I would walk into that parent-teacher conference and I would sit down and be like, oh, no, girl, we're not talking about Jimmy. What's going on with this divorce? Because my kid is coming home and telling me everything that's going on in your life.
You would not do that. That is your inner a-hole that I don't think you have in you.
I would want to do it. Wouldn't it be amazing if you did?
It would be.
And like, call her out. Be like, why are you telling your, like, why are you airing all your dirty laundry with our kids? They don't need to know this crap.
I'm going to the principal.
Are you?
I am, because I want it to be anonymous because I don't want backlash on my kid. Because if this teacher is the kind of teacher to trauma dump about her relationship to a bunch of 11-year-olds, then I feel like she's the type to be petty enough to like take it out on your kid. You know, like subtly, just make their life uncomfortable. So I would like to anonymously report it.
So you're saying we are not of sound mind here?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay. All right.
I'd say, hey, wear this mic so, and then I'll use it on the air on Monday.
Ooh.
Carrie, good morning. You're part of the Birch. Are you a teacher?
Yes, I teach fifth and I've taught sixth grade last year. I teach fifth grade this year.
Is this
around that age?
Is this fairly common for a teacher just to kind of lose it where they normally wouldn't like emotionally dump on their kids, but they do?
So I've known a couple that have done it, but no, personally, I would not. I don't think it's very professional.
No, it's not.
Yes, I also have kids too, but like, I understand wanting to vent. I get that. But you have coworkers that you commit to. 11-year-olds should not be hearing about that extent of your personal life.
Absolutely right.
I think it's tacky.
It's certainly, I mean, there's no denying it's inappropriate. It's just, what do you do with
exactly.
the info?
Yeah. Yeah, we all agree that this is, she's out of pocket for doing this, but what are you supposed to do about it?
And imagine being the fiance and finding out that your engagement broke off because of a bunch of 11-year-olds' advice. Like, that's a new low.
She's coming in for the next lesson and be like, all right, I got my pros and my cons. At the end of class, everybody's going to vote whether or not I stay or I call off the engagement.
It just feels like a Saturday Night Live skit to me where Chris Farley comes in and he's just losing it on the students. It's more funny than anything else. But yeah, what you do with the info, that's the serious part about it right now.
The Burt Show.
I am having the week that is right out of Curb Your Enthusiasm, or it would be something written into Seinfeld for George Costanza. Let me see if I can explain it correctly. I told you guys a couple of days ago that last weekend, while I was in the gym, I almost got a face full of a senior citizen's junk in my face. I explained to you guys that things happened fast, and I was so stunned by it. I really am having a hard time putting together all of the details, but to edit it for you, the way that my gym is set up, it's got two stacks of lockers, and on this particular day, which never happens, all of the top lockers were taken, so I was forced to get on my knees. Yeah. And use the bottom locker. No problem. Done it before. Not a problem. It's not the greatest real estate, but it's real estate nonetheless, right? So when I'm done with my workout and I am getting the stuff, my backpack out of the bottom locker, there's a dude behind me, an older man, in his 70s. One of these dudes that is very proud of his body in his 70s, doesn't wear a towel, or if he was wearing a towel, wasn't at this particular time. And because I guess the 5 seconds it was taking me to get my stuff out of my locker, it was too long for him. So he reached over me as I was on my knees facing my locker and reaches over me and to the right. So his waist and junk is right by my eyeballs and my cheek and my left ear while he is reaching for his bag that is in his locker to the northeast of mine. How? So am I painting that picture okay?
Oh, I picture it all right. I don't want to, but I am.
How could we forget?
Yeah. How close do you think his junk was to touching your face?
I told you guys the other day, and I am serious about this. I know that embellishment makes a good story. I could feel the heat. I could feel the heat.
Could you feel the tickles of the hair?
No, no tickles of the hair.
Stop. Because you know how it's a little extra as soon as you get out of the shower.
Yep, I'm aware. I hate it here.
Well, I hated it there.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I told you guys that
you felt the electricity of the dong.
Oh my God.
I felt it. I used the analogy for you guys, like when there's a spirit behind you, even though there's nothing behind you, you can feel the electricity. I felt the electricity of the dong.
You felt the ghost ping.
Except it wasn't a ghost.
It will be
probably in a couple of years, but right now he's still very much alive.
That penis is going to haunt you from the grave.
Said every woman ever.
It gets better.
It all happened so quickly.
Ghost penis.
And he had his AirPods in, and I was so furious. I was like seeing red, like the words wouldn't come out. I can't even exactly remember what the dude looked like.
You couldn't turn around and be like, get your D out my face.
I mean, I should have, and I would have been in the right to do that, but I was also taking his age into consideration too, and he did have his AirPods in, so I don't even know that he would have heard me, and I didn't get a really good look at this guy or anything, but I pissed, just really angry.
Do you want Lifetime to do a lineup, but it's all junk?
Yes.
So you can tell who comes to be like, I need a lineup of everybody's, of all the 70 year old and older junk in the gym.
And there would be the right.
And there would be a lot of guys.
Can you please reach up high to your right? Thanks.
There would be a lot of guys in this lineup because, as I've told you guys before, if you've ever been in a gym, I don't know if it's like this for women's gyms, but as far as dudes' gyms go, they don't care what their body looks like anymore. Yeah. So they don't wear towels mostly.
Why should
they?
They're
just like that taffy is hanging to the floor, man.
That laffy taffy.
So part two of this, and I swear to you, I am not embellishing this, and this is where the George Costanza Curb Your Enthusiasm moment again happens. I'm in the gym the other day again, and I'm talking to my friend who works at WSB, Shelly, and a dude walks up to us who's got a towel on, who's also in his 70s, and kind of buds his way into our conversation, right?
So I'm sorry, so this is happening in the male's locker room. So Shelly's a man?
Shelly is a man.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that would have been different. Yeah, Shelly is a man.
Okay, thank you, because that's not where my brain was.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah,
same?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, okay.
So a dude walks over, also in his mid-70s, has got a towel on, and he starts butting his way into our conversation in kind of an uncomfortable way. Like, where'd you come from, bro?
Yeah.
And it's in the same section as where I saw a junk dude, right?
Yeah.
So Shelly and I are talking, and as we're talking, this guy starts talking, and as he talks, he drops his towel.
No.
So he's full on naked, and it all comes flushing back to me. It's the same freaking guy.
No!
It's the same guy. Now, I can't 100% identify it, but I am 98% sure it's the same junk that I got a quick look at the other day.
That you were accosted by.
So I couldn't call him out in the moment because, again, I'm not 100%, but I am fairly certain it is the same dude.
But now you have eyes on his face.
Now I got eyes on his face. So I'm not exactly sure what to do with the... I didn't say anything.
You can't say anything. What's done is done.
I know. You can't say anything. I mean, what was I going to say? Because I played it out in my mind's eye like, hey, were you the guy that reached out and almost gave me a concussion with your nuts the other day?
He's old. He's not going to remember.
Right.
He's not going to remember Nutgate.
All right. Rebecca is in here, our producer. Our flop era, and what exactly is it?
Well, I'm in my flop era, and that's okay. Because as one woman tweeted, what if I flop? But my darling, what if you slay? Sorry. That just tickles me so much.
But that's like, that is such a, like, that's such a Gen Z way to say, but what if I fail? And then somebody says, but what if you succeed?
Right.
It's literally the exact same thing.
Flop and slay, baby.
Flop and slay.
Well, always remember, the flop is always the hardest before the slay.
What exactly is your flop era?
So a flop era, as Urban Dictionary defines it, is when something goes badly or is unslay. It is those superficial, petty problems every person experiences in their life, like having a bad hair day or forgetting a credit card payment or something like that.
Okay, I think I can do one from yesterday. Tell me if I got this right.
Go for it.
All right, so first world problem. I'm going for a massage yesterday. Been a long week. Very long week. Just needed to chill out for an hour, right? So I go in to get a massage. She comes on up to me. She's like 3'8". I'm like, oh man, she's never going to be able, this is going to be so relaxing because I'm not going in there for one of those hardcore Swedish massages anyway. So she says, what are you here for? I say relaxation, but there is an area in my shoulders and neck that's been bothering me for months. And she goes, okay, all right. She dug so hard in me. I am so sore today from this massage. I need a massage from my massage. Okay. Is that somewhat like it?
That is giving flop era moment.
Okay.
Yeah. You came in wanting something. You thought it was going to be a slay, but and it was not. It was flop.
She's like, I am going to fix that neck and forget about the relaxation part of this whole thing.
But today I'm coming in because I want to do an exercise where we turn our flop era moments into a slay.
Okay.
We are going to flip the flop and we are going to become slay.
Flip, flop.
Flip, flop.
So if you're willing, I'd love to go around the room, mm-hmm.
and share why you all are in your flop era moments, and we will reframe it to slay.
Okay.
And this will require audience participation, because after I share why I'm in my flop era, I need you all to point at me and yell, flop! Okay? Then after I share why I'm in my slay era, I need you to wiggle your finger and go, slay! Got it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Point for flop, wiggle for slay.
Yes. I'm in my flop era because I'm currently growing out my mustache to get it waxed this weekend, and it's a lot more visible than I prefer.
Flop!
So tickled.
But that means I'm serving androgyny, and that makes the ladies hot.
Slay!
Great job, heterosexuals.
It's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.